Channel 2 right, Ms. Chitty and Margaret. 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 Channel 2 right, Ms. Chitty and Margaret.
Well, about
I just
this.
Called you, you know, and it just dawned on me that I had some time today. Yeah, I was hoping you all could.
We don't get it.
I tell you what, we can just all get in the car and go back, and I've got a little business over there. Ms. Chitty, Mr. Franks, he's so slim.
Yes.
He just always slim?
Our neighbor up there close to us, she said she couldn't understand. Uh-huh. Said, well, Marvis, you had to get you be fat like you are from your mother or father. One said, your mother's fat. I said, my mother's never been. I said, she's bigger than she ever was. My mother and father both were slender.
And that dress I've got on there, it's way yonder bigger than what I really intended to be. Mm-hmm. But you see there, I ain't as big there as I am here.
No, even with your clothes and all, Ma, I have to agree.
Yeah.
But look where the dress is at the bottom. Everybody says, is that live? Oh, look at your dress, it's losing something. Well, that's a tunic.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the dress and an extra skirt on top, but it all goes together when you pull one off.
I don't know, Frankie talking about the picture. Daddy always held his head up like that, and Frankie does the same way.
Like this.
Holds his head up. When you're taking a picture of him, boy, he's standing just as... You know, this one's always cutting up. One time he's taking, Mama had some beautiful lilies in the side, kind of side backyard, and I'm taking this picture out. He had a lily up this when he's cutting up. About the time I take this picture, that's where I take him.
And I love the way his hat's pushed on the back of his head.
And he never had his hat pulled down.
Oh, he never did?
Not in the picture, but when he had toenails down,
when he was dressed, he always
put it down over his eyes.
He wanted to be seen when he was having his
and there was a guy... Garage, a big garage back behind where he's standing there.
Yeah.
But I asked the man if they thought they could take it out and just put those little tree things in there.
Yeah.
Those pictures cost you that doing like that, didn't cost about $35, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How long that you had them?
About. It was not too far, too long after Daddy died. He's been dead 24 years. It's coming October.
Yeah.
Must have had him made the year after.
Now the one these, well, we told you when that was made. And of course, the picture of Mom and Dad
made in 15.
Was made in 15. That one of Daddy, but these were done to this size and the frames and everything.
Yeah.
Of course, like.
Why she's just a girl, isn't she? I didn't realize that. I keep looking at the dress. Her face is young.
What year was that made?
That see, 16. Her face is young.
And you were, 1892.
I was 22 in March of 14. And Mama died in 14.
If I may ask
come up
about
in
pictures.
The fall of 15, and that was made in March of 15. About 23. Summer's long around about 23.
I used to take pictures.
I didn't look older than what I do there. I had so much hard field work to do before.
Man, tell you that wasn't hard work.
2-3 days out of school, planting corn, planting cotton, chopping cotton, hoeing corn, replanting, and toting two great big old. Papa had two big old red, they call them snuff buckets. The color of the share cup might have been a little darker, but anyway, I've toted them many a time, just as full as I could lag up and down, cross bedded corner rows going to him with. He had the fertilizer distributor. Now, a lot of times he didn't have no distributor. Only the old-fashioned horn, old tin horn, you know, and you used to hold it down in a way where they take the hand or something, work it in this big trumpet-like part of it. Through that, and you'd go out through the small end.
No, not.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
I'm
not.
I didn't pick that up.
And that's the way I farmed when I was growing up.
I forgot, Mr. Miles. Please forgive me. I'm too young to die. Don't get rid of me.
Yeah, I don't get to hear y'all talk. I don't know. No, sir. I've never seen one of those horns. Never used one or seen one.
They used to call them Gunner Distributors. Horns or something.
They give it a commercial.
But they've got one now that you can hook to a mule horse and put it, or you can hook it to your tractor.
Yeah.
But this here was the old time thicket and poured and then go right on down and out to them big old buckets. That may be that high.
Yeah.
How big around? There were pasteboard buckets, but now you get that there fertilizer in. Guyana? Get that in there and walk across rows of bedded up about that high. Step on one, down in the fur, up and down. Oh, and I got one leg shorter than the other.
Just not diagnosed with baseball.
I tell you, one of the worst things you can do is take a bucket of fertilizer and put some out by hand. First thing you know, that hand will be burning up on it. And you keep thinking you'll get sued.
But and the way he worked his, he had what they call it, was a big old crocus. It was thicker than what we have in our crocus bags, you know. He had him an apron made of that, and he'd fix that Guyana horn, we call it. The big mouth part, it looked like a bugle or a trumpet, in Genova trumpet.
Now that would be an antique.
And fix that in his apron here. He had a place fixed where he could. And then he'd take the apron or a can or something, maybe a scoop, I don't know. Might have taken his hand sometimes, he'd nab it off. And he'd run it in that thing and he'd just walk along. And then sometimes he'd fix his apron where the fertilizer, he could just take his apron and kind of shake it that way and he'd go through that funnel thing right on. But that didn't help my two big buckets fertilized, because I'd have to go right back as soon as I emptied and I'd go back, fill them up again.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who of you, or do you have any recitals and saying that love a piano? Now, who does the playing? Both of you? Do you both play?
Just keep it for our friends.
Oh, my goodness, like a beautiful piano. I just figured, I see there's a lot of, who is this? Beethoven? All that kind of, do you like all the classical things. And
well, I go in for any of it. I like a little bit.
What about you? Do you like them?
Yeah, we just listen to it all.
What's it called? Oh, that Mozart?
Yeah.
Is that the correct pronunciation? You being a teacher, and you too being a teacher. What do you, you've asked us now, we'd like to interview you two people. What do you, you are at the university, both of you are at the university as teachers.
No, Faye has her own little place up in town where she has some pupils that come in to see. And I work part time over there, I just have part of it, I do office work, and then I teach a class, such as it is, it ain't much of a class.
Well,
and I teach them business writing and things like that.
But mostly we think about ourselves as being the right idea.
Yeah.
Miss Jenny?
No. I tried, let me tell you, Margaret, I'll tell you all about it. I have tried several times in my life to make an honest living, as the fellow says. I've tried it out here. And every time I try it, I go broke. I don't seem to be able
to. It
costs me so much.
I have
to
make
to do
two
this.
Or three.
Yes. Everything is so high.
Get up.
It's like talking about the ways of doing things. You know, people know you know the. It's not for the. The as it goes is not for the.
No, it's just with it.
For the want of money, you know. What is it the Bible says about the want of money? I believe it is.
Yeah.
And that's the trouble for today. People are they're looking for ways to make more money.
Yeah.
So the other people, the Georges and the Johns and whatever, the Browns and the Greens and everything, you know. In a lot of cases, the Joneses try to keep up with the Mixons and whatever. Well, I should use the word Mixon now. That's a bad name. I mean, yeah, it's a good name. But I don't want to classify it. Smith.
Yeah.
Smith. That's a good
Smith
name.
Jones.
But
well, I tell you, it'd be a lot more fun if we could make our
yeah
living just
and
the way we'd like to instead of having to.
I think
yeah
it's nice
around
to have
yeah
to have known and to know you two people. You know,
yeah,
you've been in the public eye, and you are a people that are well educated, and you know your way around, and we're having the what you're doing in every day.
It'd be a lot more fun if we knew our way over to that pond where you all fish.
That's right.
You know.
I wish we could.
Now, you see, Faye works, and she knows more about her business than I know about mine. But she works privately, and she can't make as much as I can just hiring out to the university. Now, you see, that's what Willie gets into. That's what we all get into. And then when I go up there and work, I don't have any responsibility. I don't have to drum up anything, you see. I just do what they tell me. You see, that's not so hard on you. I come out here, and I, you see, right now, I just picked up one of your mama's. She talking about that heavy crocus sack they used to have, and they'd make an apron of it. I just thinking, you see, I don't wear these clothes I sit around in and here. I don't wear out there in the cattle, because I don't keep my clothes clean. I always, when I go out, I slip on those old trousers and come in.
Well, it's good. Most men don't regard it that much. They just say, well, however, it'll be washed. It'll be dry clean somewhere. They have to take it.
Yeah.
Let it go, you know.
Yeah.
It's good
well,
if you're concerned.
I'm in the house a good bit and doing desk work and all. And I get sort of conscious of that. And, but you see, I was brought up a little bit too late. You see, if I had been a little closer to your mama, see, I'd know a lot of things I don't know. You see, I left home before I was an adult, really, you see. And so I never was there as an adult and did things like the rest of people. So, you see, I missed out on a lot of it. But now I'm just thinking, I think, really, what I need, I don't need to change clothes like that. If I had one of them heavy cooler sack aprons when I go out there.
He finally hits the jackpot, don't he, Mom?
Because an apron is something I never used.
You need one with
finger around
here.
That's right.
Put your hand tied up and just
that's
put
right
anything in your lap, pick up a young calf and one and bring it to the house.
That's right. Take the apron.
Have you?
Take the apron off and said, I need.
Well, it comes in as a protection. Most ladies wear the little aprons, you know, around to protect their clothes. So the man,
you know,
my husband
right
had.
They used
had,
to, Margaret. They don't anymore.
I know. Mom'd be lost without her.
I'll freeze the other day. Yes, and in the summertime, I feel like I'm losing my other clothes if I ain't got them.
Oh, really?
Alright.
Well, now you see, I never.
If I didn't have this on or a belt on, I'd just feel like I was losing all the rest of my clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mom, I tell Aunt Rosalie when she comes down, Aunt Rosalie wears the whole apron, you know, the
yeah
top part.
Yeah.
You know.
But
yeah
she's got
down here.
The straps come to the kente.
Mama don't like it. I don't like one around mine. I don't have one apron.
Well, you can put it around and pull it back.
I've got one I made by fingers. Oh, the strings about like that, and I didn't know for a long time. I know that afterwards I had lost a lot of weight because I could take and bring that thing around and tie. But before that, I knew I couldn't bring it around tight. The other one wouldn't tie that way, so.
Yeah.
I must have been lost, but I can take that and bring it almost to a knot tie there. It's a little too tight.
She's got a sweater. I have a time. She's like taking a bone away from my dog. You know, get it to wash.
Yeah.
She says, Margaret, it's warm.
Yes.
It's more clear than it's warm. I have washed. Now, this year, I believe, since I've been, I've done washing for a long time.
But
for all
one
of
time
us,
this year.
She hasn't been able to do it for a long time. But Well, this year I've washed the least sweaters, and I think three a week is about the least the most I have, you know.
Yes.
I've washed as high as 8 sweaters a week. My daughter don't even know what it's like. And I tell her, I said, Betty Ann, when I was going
she
to school.
She wouldn't wear one. It's all that cold weather. She wouldn't wear one.
No, she went to school.
She
wears slacks, you know.
Yeah.
Mama, Daddy, come get my sweater. I'm going to
and everything's got to be just so. Of course, I can well understand what Mom and Daddy and the boys went through when I was coming up. How ornery I was, you know, about my clothes. I didn't have very many, but everything had to be just so. And a dress, it wasn't worn unless it was. I didn't wear it the one time, you know. Like, you know, your dress clothes. You can't afford it if you take care of them as adults. Should, a lot of grown-up children. Hang them up, you know, neatly. All right, put them away. And wear them. But Margaret didn't do that. And Brother, I have paid for it over the years, too, you know.
Yeah.
Everything had to be ironed. But let me tell you one thing. You see, I'm not very particular. I like to go clean. But I don't have very many clothes. But Betty Ann, she'll take anything it's got to lay. Just so. Oh, no, it's one of Mom and Daddy had to beat me half to death. Everything's got to be just so, and she can spot something that don't look right in the water when she goes, Mama, what's in this water? I said, well, you can't expect her to be no different. Mama, this looks like a piece of trash. I said, get it out. Get it out. We can't afford it, and our heater's on the blink. Now, I've been on for about 6 months. I have to heat the water on the stove, you know, for a bath, because that water in the shower just make you jump out of the tub. Like it's been, you know. But the little trailer's pretty warm, I guess. And I guess it goes back to Mama's sweater.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's so much nastiness in the house, so much dust and everything, you know, till lady came in tonight. She says, Margaret, have you got a new rug on the floor? And it kind of made me feel better. I hadn't scrubbed, you know, and swept it, and it looked better. I said, no, ma'am, it's the same one that's been on the floor all the time. Did you put it down, Margaret? Very nosy, you know. Did you put it down, Margaret? I said, no, ma'am, it was there when we got the trailer. It's so pretty, and I could just see creeping, you know. She could see maybe in the corners, you know, where the dust hadn't been cleaned out and everything. And people looking at this, well, I used to be so particular. But I'm not.
Miss Jenny, I ought to get one of those aprons, don't I?
Don't you think we could get him one?
Well,
I got plenty of Cooper Sacks, you know, as heavy as it was.
Well, them days and nowadays, everything's thinner than what it was then.
Yeah.
Even money's thinner than they used to know people that washed the money. Did y'all ever wash your money?
Oh, don't tell me you know people that washed money.
Did you, Mom?
Yeah.
Washed that, ironed it.
Your lady down there to pop, because whenever she went in the store and they give her back money out of, maybe she give them a clean 20 or 10 or something or a 5. She'd watch them close, and they'd take out whatever change, come back, she'd take that, and she had an old little pocketbook. She stuck it in there, put it down in her hand, and she
I don't have
home.
Time to wash.
She washed.
Don't last that long.
She washed it.
Warm suds of water. And then, and then she'd ride. And then she ironed it out, and you wouldn't know it from what it was, a brand new dollar bill, 10, 5, whatever it was. I've seen her go in there with a check, maybe $30, $40, maybe $50 check. And they'd hand her the money. Boy, she'd jump her, stick it in one side of her handbag. I'll send to you when I get you home. And Willie Mae Knudsen.
Her brother was your boyfriend, wasn't he, Mom?
Mm-mm. Her uncle was the man that owned Mr. Will Champney, owned the store. And she was great. Now, you talk about somebody taking, she could take paper like this, and you could be talking to her, and she looked down at that, and then looked at you, and how you like that? And deep as the world, I think.
You know, it's good that people can do that. I hope our daughter will be, you know, she's taking art
and
this year in school. I hope she'll make an art.
Was
she's
Willie Mae.
Take care of herself, you know. It'll take more than art, I know, but I mean, it'll help out anyway.
What
she had the name worth one
of
the
you're
just
getting fidgety. That's your trouble.
I remembered I had to do something. Actually.
Yeah. Faye can't sit much. She gets fidgety. She says, you tell me when I go home.
Her name was Willie Mae Ozella Knutes.
Mom, was she a little woman or a big woman?
She
with a name like that?
She was tall and she was skinny. Hair was just as black as crow. And I don't know, but I think eyes were either brown or blue. I can't remember which. But she was a real nice girl. Best girlfriend I had.
Very
you might
say.
Go
such
around.
A nice little lady.
Go around in there.
I think she does quite a bit, you know, in her job up there, on her teaching and everything.
Yeah, she works hard.
But as I was going to tell you about the story and the money, she...
Well, I imagine you work hard. I think working with this education, you know, anything pertaining to education is... you chose that as a career, didn't you, Mr.?
No, I just happened to get into it. Let your mama go ahead with that. What she's saying.
Oh, about his the education. Money. He says, "Mama can go down the drain. He wants to hear what you're saying."
Well, about the money, Ozella Willie Mae told me. She says, "Now, Miss Chi, I'm Miss Chi." Says, "And for us, boy, Miss Daddy." She says, "And for us, I'll tell you something." She says, "I got something to tell you, just like this." And when this woman, can't tell that woman's name now. But anyway, she wasn't too, she didn't act haughty or anything, thought herself better than anybody else. But she said, and when she got out the door with me, says, "I'll tell you now." She says, and all the time she was talking to me, she was watching that woman, and when that woman went out the door, she couldn't see anymore, and she showed me a picture that she drew of her. I said, "Well, maybe you ought to make a living at your artwork, sketching, you know."
Yeah.
She said, "Well, what I want to tell you," said, "you know that woman will go home." She said, "You notice where she put that money when I cash that check?" I said, "Yes, I know. She put it down one side of her pocketbook." And she says, "Well, she'll go right home. Says she'll take every dollar bill, every one of them. And she'll heat her some water. She'll put soap or something, powders or something in there. Fumigate. Doesn't she wash them? Doesn't she let them strung around there? And then they go to dry and she goes to ironing. Doesn't she can come back in here tomorrow with three or four of them bills and that thing is brand new?"
I wouldn't have thought that, would you? I sure would.
This woman, she had told me before, but I was one.
You never tried it.
No, sir. I was a person that I'd listened a whole lot, but I didn't say much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't side in with them about doing these things. And she was up over McLeod's grocery store where she was living first. And she come down the store to get something, and Miss McLeod made change, and she had $2-3 over, you know. Thing stuck that in the apron pocket. And when we started out, she caught me by the sleeve and wanted me to come as far as the back door with her. Well, the steps there, you know, goes up to the upstairs part. I can't think of that woman's name, just her and her husband. She was a short, stout built woman. But anyway, she she told me, got to the step. She says, "You know why I put this one in my pocket?" I says, "No, ma'am." She says, "Well, I'm going to wash it when I get upstairs." She says, "I'm going to wash that money and dry it." I says, "Oh." She says, "You never know who's handling that money. You never know what kind of something you can catch from that money."
I don't know what's on your mind today.
Nothing. I was just listening to Miss Chitty, not a thing. Wait, am I with something?
You got your clock up there where you can see if there's another and you can see it.
Hey, Chitty, who does Everett take after? Everett, take after Daddy?
No, sir. He's more on the Whittington side than he is the Smith side.
Yeah.
Because his mother was a Whittington. And boy, she could clip it off yonder, and if she didn't strain both ears, she couldn't remember what she said first before the last word. Come, you forgot that when she started on another sentence. That's just like everything about talking. Oh, she could just roll it off. Well, she never said anything out of the way about anybody, but she's just telling you this, that, and the other, and he's just going, and a horse getting high, and you notice how his will go up.
Oh, will it?
He'll be talking to you, right? So-and-so, you're not so-and-so, don't you? Well, maybe it'll start this way. You'll be talking. Well, do you know so-and-so? Well, I do. I've known him ever since he was a little bitty, and right up in there, he'll go with it. But, Lord, I gave him peace of my mind that day when they and that trailer of corn was on the axe. But I never finished. We got in the house.
Yes,
Frankie
yes.
kept a... Mother kept calling Frankie. Well, got that wash my hand. Oh, it was so bloody, just like sort of cut off or something. Well, I was trying to keep my mind clear of everything that I could, you know. That word, Satan. That's about it. A lot of blood would make me faint. Yeah. I used to it. And
you got used to it.
And yes, in a lot of ways I have. Now, I imagine if I was to be around where there's most especially human blood, anything like animal blood, anything like working hogs, beef, and chickens, anything like that, the blood don't bother me. Mm-hmm. But seeing somebody bleeding or anything like that, it just... Everything turned, what a little bit got up there, it was black.
It still bothers you.
And so I went to the window there where we had chef built on the outside, stove back over here. There's a window in the end there. But chickens always run out. And we had a swill bucket out there, you know, to put the slops and stuff, scraps and things in there. They'd get it there, they'd pick it out and sling it up on the wall. So we got to where we'd take it, set it inside, and cover it over with a board pan or something, you know. And we had set it inside to keep the chickens from picking the good stuff out of it, you know, give to the hogs. And I went to another washing my hands, and I says, Monroe, I says, oh, Monroe, I says, get your cap bottle, I believe I'm going to. Monroe right up to her, Frankie, come here quick, come on, hurry up. Well, there's a little fence out, and Frankie didn't go up the gate, he just come over the fence, you know, like a cat. And he says, what is it? Monroe says, come here quick, Mom. Says, Mama's going to die, I know she's going to die. Well, they just thought I was gone when I'd have one of them spells, you know, just pass out.
Oh, you had spells?
I used to just be sitting up there talking to them or something, and all I said, huh? And I said, then what? I'd tumble over. And it scared me around the desk.
Yeah. And they had to get some medicine for you.
And that's where that they, camphor bottle, I say, I got it there, hid around there somewhere. We used to buy camphor blocks of camphor, you know, the pure camphor.
Yeah.
And we'd put, chip it up and put it in that bottle. Then we'd either get whiskey or moonshine. Moonshine makes good camphor. And so just almost, well, we hadn't been about that much used out of the bottle since we filled it up.
Mm-hmm.
I kept telling Frank, Frankie, better get some more whiskey or liquor or something, not a, well, anyway, it's on the whiskey side, you know. I said, just a tiny little bit to go in my camphor bottle's all I want. He looked at the bottle one day, he says, well, Mammy, he says, that bottle is getting pretty low, ain't it? I says, yes, and you don't know how much you're going to have to use on some of us, too, someday. I want it filled up. So he goes down past Johnson's store down there. Oh, and he'll make moonshine. He got about that much in a small flask. About a half a pint flask bottle. He wrapped up the van, put it in there. He said, Mammy says it's about a good swallow left. I threw it out. And he's teasing me, but he was, you might say, a drunkard. But he had been quit about 4 years before he met me.
Oh.
But drinking just doesn't quit.
Oh.
And I had a scar up there in his head where somebody liked to bring him to death in a hotel one night when he was young. He'd been working down here at the Millwood Farm. And he'd gone down, well, he went down south, down that Apopkin Winter Gardens where Jim done his fishing on Lake Apopka down then. He told, Jim told him, says, Frank says, you want a drink? No, he says, I don't. Says, I don't drink anymore, Jim. He says, oh, come on, Jim was bad about drinking. Well, all them fishermen, you know, they were all bad about drinking and get out on that old big lake and them waves coming this way with the boats and that away. I had to have something to hold the nerves down, but I'd won't been sober when I went under if I did come back up. And anyway, we got my camphor bottle. More than liked about that much, I reckon, being full up. It's a long neck bottle, I think. Well, as I remember, that long anyway. And it liked about that much being full. So Frankie goes in there, he gets it, and comes back. And Monroe had helped me up. I done cooked to the winter here, you know. I just going on, hurry up, Frankie, hurry up. I can't hold up much longer. Hurry up. And Frankie, he got around there. And he liked to sit down in the slop bucket. And kept pulling me back. He says, well, move, Frankie. Just go get Mama's head in that slop bucket. And I just turned to lose, like a limp rag. Monroe, he starts, Frankie, do something, right? Frankie,
could you hear him?
I can't, we couldn't say nothing. Finally, I passed out on him, but I was gradually coming back. Frankie was pouring the camphor up here in my head. And then Monroe says, Frankie, says it ain't doing no good up there. He says, put some around the nose. Frankie said, well, I can't hold a head up and forth. He said, yeah, put some on my head. He eased me down. He said, that's the way Daddy does. He said, he gets his hand wet and all over our nose and around. About that time, I kept getting my breath, you know. And they both hollered out, thank God, thank God. Mama, Mama, you getting all right? Just running down my nose. They were big enough to be out in the field working, but they were helping me there at the house, being Saturday, and looking for Margaret and Lehman to come in. But boy, when they come in, I had my hand all tied. Everybody come in, you know, and stop. What are you doing to your finger? Cut off, cutting up the tree. Nope. I says, that doggone trailer of yours out yonder has caused me to almost smash my finger on this hand off and busted this one. I says, I'm still mad, but I was mad enough then to take that trailer by the tongue and turn it all clear over. He says, what for? I says, the next time y'all bring that blame trailer and stop it out there with a load of corn, anything on it, stop it on the axe, I'm going to. And I don't know if I can get over the axe, I may chop y'all open. He said, Miss Chitty, what's the matter? Frank, he was standing there, but he knew I was mad, and he knew it wasn't all right. Not a bit of use to say anything to him till I had to say it. Then I went over and sat down and cried. That's me when I get good and mad. Are my feelings hurt? I don't do it now, but I used to. I can't cry. I'll start crying, the tears will come out, just a little bit of tears, you know. And then I choke. Choking in here just seems like it's just getting so big that it's going to burst. And I can't get my breath.
I don't know, I just worked it this way.
And now I can be sitting here talking to you, not once. Maybe I get along, how you breathe through your nose and it goes down, it'll strangle me, and I go coughing.
Oh, really?
And then I get strangled a lot of times, you know. Mommy, if you don't quit with them old truth and that old powders, you quit, you wouldn't have that cough. Well, I have asthma anyway. Had it ever since I was a child.
Oh, really? Well, that stuff's nuisance, Miss City. That, I've seen people pass out with that.
I have too. I've heard of them.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah.
And get my old man and me and my old man.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Now, this is Channel 2 Right, the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty this Friday, the 14th of May, 1971. We got here about 10:30 and to 11, I guess, and stayed until after lunch. Channel 1 Right, Channel 1 over, and Channel 2 Right up to around 480 or 90 or 500. And this is the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty this Friday, the 14th of May, 1971. Channel 2, right. Around 480 or 90. And the end of the visit with Margaret and Miss Chitty this Friday, the 14th of May, 1971. Now, this is Channel 2, right. I'm going to transfer a telephone tape this Monday, the 5th of July, 1971. Margaret called to tell us they had taken Miss Chitty to the hospital. She couldn't breathe. So she had to go to the hospital. And now they're all visiting her. This is Channel 2 Right. I'm going to transfer a telephone tape this Monday, the 5th of July, 1971. Margaret called to say they'd taken Miss Chitty to the hospital. She couldn't breathe. So she had to go to the hospital, and now they're all visiting her.
I tried to call you earlier this morning.
Yeah.
And he said, have you called Miss Miles? I said, well, the phone's either been busy or out or something, and we were trying to get through. Now, the hours are from 1 to 4.
1 to 4.
And 7 to 9.
Isn't that funny? You know, I called Saturday. Well, we've just been real concerned about her, as you know. And I was just... I know we both are just going to be so glad that she's there to get checked up.
Well, I hope she will. She seems to be resting. We had to carry the emergency room. We had gone over to buy a few groceries. Frank and Betty Ann and I had. We went to pick up Betty Ann. We stopped. And Rosie called Bartels in the meantime and for some of that medicine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she was having trouble breathing. And so we got here. We just rushed right on. Didn't take time.
Having this trouble in breathing.
Yes, ma'am. So I thought we'd call you. I'm fixing to go to the house to dress to get over there, and we're trying to space out. Well, quite a few have been in and to see her, and I know she'll enjoy seeing you folks go in too, if you have time.
Well, of course we do. I think sometimes it's not too good to have too many people
That's
at
right.
one time. I will write her a little note, and we do want to see her, and we
yes,
want to keep up with what you find out.
Okay, he'll
I just feel like that this is a good thing to have her there.
I hope so.
To see what it is.
She's adjusting to everything. She's real good about it. As Willie said Sunday morning, Willie and Monroe went over earlier so they could get back. He wanted to get over early before
yeah.
we went to church. And
yeah.
He said, Mama, she's real good about, you know, she's got a great constitution and she's just adapting herself to the hospital routine. Schedules real well.
so strange because she was making a little, Aunt Rosa, Lee said she was making a little note, when I called just to inquire about her Saturday, and how's Aunt Rosa's rising?
Well, it finally busted, and she does seem to be a little better. She needs to go home and have a checkup, and I think she was planning to go and then come back, you see, and this happened. And so her daughters came down. We were glad to see them. Their daughters and families came yesterday to visit Mama and her. As far as that goes. But they did come to see her Mama.
Well, she was so uncomfortable.
She was uncomfortable.
But even if I must have called about 2 or 2:30 Saturday, just to check on your mother.
Yes, ma'am.
And
they told me you called.
Yeah, and Aunt Rosa, and I could hear your mother say, shake her head and say, I'm just dizzy. I'm just dizzy.
Yes, she was. She got worse Saturday.
And that's when you took her?
Yes, ma'am.
Saturday, when you got back Saturday.
Yes, ma'am. He didn't put up too much of a battle, but she said, I'm afraid if I go, I won't ever come back. And she told the doctor when we got her in the emergency room, said, well, said, you're not going to keep me, are you, doctor? And he's a foreign doctor, a friend doctor.
Yeah.
And he said, he asked her what she had said, you know, and she told him, and I told him, he said, don't think of that. And we're trying to, you know, first one way or another. Well,
now, that's just the Wilson Hospital, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, you're sweet to call, and we appreciate it, and I'm just know they're going to find out some things that'll help her.
Well, I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to be resting very well. We know that she's not without pain, but still, she seems to be. I asked her, trying to trick her, you know. I said, Mama, does this hurt? And I don't hurt anywhere, Margaret. I just, my chest is bothering me, and she complained first of headaches, you know. She started with headaches, and I think she had taken a little too much of one kind of medicine. You know, I mean, it was getting the best of her.
Yeah.
And, of course, she's been doing real well. Aunt Rosalie's seen to it that she had her medicine.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be given to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out, too, that she was taking the medicine, and it was just a little too strong. Well, I must go, because...
Yeah. Is Dr. Daly her doctor?
Yes, ma'am.
I see. Well, we'll keep in touch, and thank you for calling.
Okay, and we'll see you now. It's nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's the end of that little telephone tape. Margaret called Faye this Monday, I don't know, noon maybe, the 5th of July, 1971. This is the long weekend of the 4th, Channel 2 right, and Margaret called Faye to say that Miss Chitty had gone to the hospital. This is Monday, the 5th of July. This is telephone tape to Willie. This is telephone tape. Now, this is the first week of July. I don't have the date, and this is Channel 2 right, and this is out of order. This comes before Margaret's telephone. I was sitting there and thinking if I had somebody to help me, I would work out something to take the place of those old creosoted posts that stay a year or two and break off level with the ground. And I thought of Willie. I went right over and telephoned him. I knew he had a backlog. I didn't mean for him to take a hand. I just thought he might have an idea. Now this is what he had on.
Hello? Willie?
Uh-huh.
You know, I got in my mind that long stretch of cleared ground along the road there by your woods. I don't know, it just comes to me every now and then.
Uh-huh.
That's going to take a lot of posts.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking a little bit. I mean, trying to collect my mind. And these old posts you buy, the creosoted posts, you know what they do. They just pop off at the ground. And these metal posts, the angle iron type of posts, they're a little costly.
Oh, man, they're costly.
And they're not big enough to hold a fence up.
No, they're not. They'd have to be twice as big to really do what I want.
Well, you'd have to have a regular post every now and then, actually, to hold the fence up. But now, I'll tell you, there ought to be a man who has experience in all these do as many things as you can. There ought to be some way around these darn creosoted posts. Of course, you've got some of those cedar posts, but you don't have many, and they won't last forever.
Oh, no. I've got, between 300 and 400 cedar posts.
Yeah.
That I bought recently. But, like you say, they won't last long. You can't get solid heart cedar. They want 70 cents a seed spawn, and 65 if you haul them. And I didn't figure I could go that much.
Yeah.
I guess it could have, and maybe should have, but I didn't.
Yeah. But they are such.
What's that?
Such posts are available.
There's some few available.
Over where you got yours?
Yes.
But you had to haul them.
That's right.
Yeah.
They can be, they'll haul them, but now this man that I bought these from, he don't haul them. He don't cut many. He just gets out a few. He's an old retired man, and he just cuts out a few along. He don't, well, it's been, I've been, been me and this buddy of mine over here in Frankie have been 4 months, I guess, getting 600 posts between us.
How many can you haul?
Well, I've been renting a truck over here, about shot, but I've been renting a truck hauling 300 at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did the last two times. The first time I hauled them on cotton picking on my pickup and earned a tire.
Uh-oh, that got you.
See, that cost me more than the post was worth, almost.
Yeah, those tires are heavy-duty tires.
No, mine, they're 4-ply, but they're not. They should be 6-ply.
Yeah.
They're not really heavy enough to haul a load on.
Ton?
Pardon?
A ton.
Well, I've hauled a ton on it, but I had more than a ton when I brought 104 posts from over the other side across 36 miles.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about your feed that you haul.
Oh, yeah, I haul it. As a rule, I haul a ton now.
Those tires will handle that?
They have, yes. But then I must have had between 3,000 and 4,000 pounds on it. Undoubtedly, I did not weigh weight, but I just figured that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll call. Have you had any dealings with this new man at Wynn's place down there?
Well, look. He kind of got underneath my right hand, old fingernail.
Yeah.
Yes, they're all right, but they're not the type that they'll bend over or try to sell. They want the money for it, but you got to do the buying. I mean, they want the money right then. way to do it.
Yeah. But, you know, you know that property he bought up there at Roberts Smith?
No, I didn't know he bought it.
He bought all that strip over there across the 441 from Roberts. 20 acres, $1,000 an acre. And it's putting up a $50,000 house over there.
That's that big fence deal going up there.
That's right. That's right. And he wanted to buy 15, 20 acres behind it. And the man said he couldn't sell it for $1,000 an acre. It wasn't worth anything much, you know. Well, he says, price it to me. So he just priced it way too high, and the man couldn't make that, but he seemed to be willing to. Money was no object to him. Well, you got to know how to deal with these fellows, you know. You brought up dealing with old man Christian in that crowd. Well, it's different now. I'm going to call him. I'm just going to call him on the phone and ask him about some posts.
He's got my question.
Well, I'm going to tell him, like I told you, I don't want them old posts to break off. I want some that will stay up there.
But, I might have a problem with getting a better price.
Well, that's right. He keeps posts too.
He keeps more posts than these people. He can have more posts than these
people. Oh, does he?
Oh, he can have more posts than these people. He more or less, I'd say, is 80 posts. Just 80.
I'd seen all those posts out there, but I didn't know he did that much.
Tractor. Leave his truck and drive that tractor all the way back from Urban. And then he got to put out fertilizer. Today, he can't tarry about that because he got to have his truck. I hadn't thought about that. And take that truck, tractor back over there and pick up his truck and come on home and get ready and go to work. And this is the first week of July, right after breakfast, the end of Channel 2 Right on Mrs. Chitty's tape, Mrs. Chitty and Margaret. Channel 2 Right.